It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, ideas about doppelgangers, twins. So on a clear night, you might look up at the sky and wonder, what is our connection to our closest neighbor up there, the moon?
The Earth and the moon have a special relationship, and it's different than anything else we see in the solar system. We think of it like the Earth and the Moon are identical twins.
This is planetary scientist Sarah Stewart. And what she means by identical twins is that the Earth and the Moon are made of rocks that have the same isotopes, basically the same geological DNA.
The Earth and the Moon have nearly identical ratios of isotopes. And so they definitely had different lives after they were formed, but they must have been made from the same original materials, the original rocks floating around the sun.
And this is really unusual.
No other pair of bodies in the solar system has this same relationship. And that's been a big puzzle to explain.
So the prevailing theory about how the moon and Earth formed has been around for years, but it never quite explained how the two could be made of the same materials. And this really bugged Sarah.
The leading idea for the origin of the Earth and moon is called the giant impact theory.
Sarah Stewart continues from the TED stage.
The theory states that a Mars-sized body struck the young Earth, and the moon formed from the debris disk around the planet. The theory can explain so many things about the moon, but it has a huge flaw. It predicts that the moon is mostly made from the Mars-sized planet, that the Earth and the moon are made from different materials. But that's not what we see. The Earth and the moon are actually like identical twins. When I started working on the origin of the moon, there were scientists that wanted to reject the whole idea of the giant impact. They didn't see any way for this theory to explain the special relationship between the Earth and the moon. We were all trying to think of new ideas. The problem was there weren't any better ideas. All of the other ideas had even bigger flaws.
So Sarah and her team wondered, maybe the giant impact played out differently. Maybe all those billions of years ago, things smashed together in a way no one had considered yet. They needed to find out.
Yeah, my lab is called the Shock Compression Lab. It has two huge cannons that we use to generate pressures like those generated by planets colliding together. We smash stuff together and we zap them with lasers and we try and recreate what happened in the early solar system.
Can I just ask you, this sounds dangerous. Is this dangerous?
Absolutely. That's what makes it so much fun.
Awesome.
The team did all kinds of simulations. And one day they saw something that they didn't recognize.
I remember distinctly where we looked at the computer data. And when we were looking at it, what we were seeing was something that was much, much larger than the Earth, meaning its radius was many times bigger. It was hot and mostly gas in the outer layers.
What was this new hot gassy thing?
So imagine a glowing ball of swirling gas. From the side, it looks kind of like a...
like a frisbee?
A bow tie.
A bow tie. Okay.
Almost like a bow tie. There's a knot in the middle. That's where most of the Earth is. But then it flares out at the edges. So looking from the side, that's the shape it would be. And it would be glowing bright like a fire hearth. Because the rock in it is magma and rock vapor filling this object.
Can I just make sure I'm with you?
Yeah.
So there's an impact. Something hits very early planet Earth to the point where it actually changes shape. It goes from being round like a ball, spherical, to flattening into more of a disc and having more of a gaseous sort of look to it, less firm edges, very blurry around the edges, and almost like on fire, very, very hot.
That's right. So when the Mars-like object struck the Earth, so much energy has been dumped into the planet that it's so extended and spinning so rapidly that it morphs into a disk in its outer layers. And it no longer has that spherical shape, and it no longer rotates altogether. It's so large that the moon would begin to form inside of that swirling gas. We had to come up with a name for an object that's not a planet. We named this new object a synestia. It's named after the Greek goddess Hestia, which is the goddess of the hearth and home.
A synestia gives us a new way to solve the problem of the origin of the moon. We propose that the moon formed inside a huge vaporous synestia. The moon grew from magma rain that condensed out of the rock vapor. The moon's special connection to Earth is because the moon formed inside the Earth when Earth was a synestia. The moon could have orbited inside the synestia for years, hidden from view. The moon is revealed by the synestia cooling and shrinking inside of its orbit. The synestia turns into planet Earth only after cooling for hundreds of years longer. In our new theory, the giant impact makes a synestia, and the synestia divides into two new bodies, creating our isotopically identical Earth and moon.
So your theory explains why they are twins. But if the moon and the Earth came from the same fiery situation, why do they look so different?
Right. The twin analogy isn't perfect for the Earth and moon because we do see such stark differences. All of the water and gas that become our oceans and atmospheres, they are bound to the larger object. It had the larger gravity field. And so the Earth has the richness of the oceans and our atmosphere. And when the moon separated from the synestia, it separated without an atmosphere. It was a molten ball with rock vapor only, but didn't have the carbon dioxide that made up Earth's first atmosphere. So the two paths of the planets diverged after they separated from one another. And the level of precision is now at the point where we can see little differences on each planet that reflect processes that happened after their origin, in addition to their origin.
But it sounds like there's still a lot to learn, a lot you don't know.
Well, the more we see. So we scientists have a burning desire to explain how the Earth got to be the Earth. And the moon-forming giant impact is a key event in the history of Earth, and perhaps may have been important in why Earth is the habitable planet. So I think we'll continue trying to understand the details of what made the Earth and moon because of the importance of explaining the Earth.
So can I just ask you, when you look up at the moon, I'm guessing you see something or you think something very different than what I do or most people.
Yes, I spent a lot of time pondering what it would be like when everything was mixed together. And at that time, all of the atoms that we have today in the two bodies were mixed together and swirling together. And me sitting here today and you sitting here today, we're part of that. Mm. Our atoms were swirling around with moon atoms, and that's just an incredible thing to ponder.
Oh, I love that.
It's what makes this event so special and so personal for all of us, that we were part of it, even if it was a deep history of our existence.
That's Sarah Stewart. She's a professor of planetary science at UC Davis and a MacArthur Genius Award winner. You can see her full talk at TED.com.